great to be alive? Isn't it great to be in Arizona? What a beautiful place we live. Great place to call home. Amen. How many brought your Bibles this morning? Why don't you lift them up and shake them around a little bit like Brother Osteen used to say, make the devil nervous. Now how many know if it stays in that book and it never gets in your heart and never comes out of your mouth, it's not much of a weapon. But you take what's in that book and you get it in your heart and let it begin to come out of your mouth. Demons tremble. Amen. Life can change. If you're here this morning and you're testing this thing, I want you to know that the emptiness, the yearning that you have, is not going to be filled by going to church, by giving offerings, by doing good things, by turning over a new leaf, by abandoning some form of addiction. All these things are good, but they should be results of the main thing, the void, the lacking, the missing, that ever continual just... What is it that I'm telling you, man? It's just the devil will do everything he can to keep us from seeing Jesus. It's amazing how modern religion will avoid speaking of Jesus. Let me tell you something. He is the answer. There was a quick testimony. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about this morning. I'll get to that in just a moment. But quick testimony. A young lady who years ago, when Jackie and I were living for a time in Florida, we had a tremendous, tremendous revival there with our young people. Ryan is a product of that revival. He was a young teenager. Matt and Ruthie, who some of you remember, who helped us get started here with our youth ministry. Matt also, another result of that revival. And many others who are in ministry, been through Bible school, or married with children today during a very, very special time. There was a young lady that today is married to a pastor's son, has several children, who showed up at one of our meetings. She was at that time about 18 years of age, was involved in a gang, and at the same time involved, and I don't know if you know what Rastafarianism is, but it's a, anyway. And she carried a razor blade knife on a chain down between her breasts. This is the way she rolled, along with the others. On drugs, and somebody killed Clint Eastwood. There we go. All right. Oh, man, that's funny. I remember making such a big deal out of turning off your phones one Sunday. And remember David Simmons, my faithful brother? He called me during the service, and my phone went off while I was preaching. After me giving everybody else a hard time, so at any rate. Do check your phones, though, because it doesn't take much, as you know, to distract me. Here's an example. Where was I? At any rate, this young lady came to our services, and I'll never forget her because she was standing with several people dressed in the form of the Rastafarianism movement. Her name was Lauren, along with several others, and I remember... The darkness, I'll never, Jackie remembers it, the darkness that was over that group. At the end of a very dynamic service, we had well over 100 kids in there packed in there on a Wednesday night, high school and college and career age. She was the only one that responded to an altar call at a time when we always had a number of people responding, seemed like. She was the only one. She came forward and she mouthed the confession of faith. And, you know, I was shocked because I felt like God was going to do something really great that night. I was expecting to have 20, 30 youth up there. That's where I was at, man. We were praying. I remember walking back by the sound booth and a couple of our leaders that were back there said, man, you can feel something tonight powerful is going to happen. And I said, I know it. So we were all expecting. And isn't it funny how the flesh is? We still judge by what we see. We were disappointed. Only one. And to make matters worse, the one that came up was like, you know, you ever taken, you know, a rubber ball and just thrown it against the wall, and the harder you throw it, the harder it comes back at you? So the way the prayer felt, it was like it was going nowhere. In the name of Jesus. But you know, you ever have a dream like that where, you know, the devil's chasing you or somebody's trying to attack you and you're trying to say, you know, and you can't, and you can't make your mouth move? You ever had that dream? In the name of Oh, come on. Am I the only one? Have you ever had that dream? All right. Okay. So, all right. Help me out a little bit here. I mean, it's Labor Day weekend. So, anyway. Hey, look around, by the way. I get to, as a pastor, I dread holiday weekends. Look around at this good crowd we've got there. Isn't this awesome? And I think it's great when people go and enjoy their families. It's just, you know what I mean. So, at any rate. So, where was that? So, after all this, you know, you just felt almost deflated. It's like you knew God was going to do something great, and seemingly nothing happened. So afterwards, she comes up, and there were spirits all over this gal, and I won't get into detail, but she came up to me, and she asked that I would pray for her family, that they were in this situation, and this need, and this other thing, and whatever. And I felt uneasy about the setting, and so I went and got my wife. Said, I need Jackie to be with me. We're going to make sure we're ethical. I mean, that's good. I'm going to go get my wife. And then I went back to her and I said, let's go and we'll pray. So my wife and I took her off into a side room and we began to pray for her needs. And as we began to pray, something began to happen in that room, and I will never forget it as long as I live. That young lady, her hands were in the, remember, her hands were in the air. I encourage you to lift her hands. She began to, you remember this, hon? Began to shake and to cry. All of a sudden, tears were running down her face. And all she could get out was, I see him. I see him. I see him. He's real. Then she would say, oh, his eyes. She said, his eyes. I see pure love. His eyes. We watched our only response, who went through a mouth confession, come into a living encounter with Jesus Christ. I watched as a girl. I found out later that just a few days before, had sat on a beach and said, I'm trying religion one more time. I'm done. You remember this, Ryan? I'm done. After this, I'm over. I'm taking my life. It's over for me. She'd been abused, and she can someday, I mean, it'd be so awesome to have her someday here to tell her story. Lauren. And the impact of the love of God. After some time, it was such a turnaround. She was very quickly filled with the Holy Spirit, wound up within months going to Bible school, married the pastor's son, and is the most wonderful, beautiful, I mean, to think of where she had been and the abuse of men and the disillusion, God truly does. Listen, this is a word for somebody in here this morning. He truly does, if you trust him, restore our innocence. Come on, are you here this morning? He restores our innocence. He restores what the devil has stolen. He gives us a new life. Truly, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things in us have become new. And the next verse says, all those things are of God. I'll tell you what. She began to share her testimony. And one of the things that struck me, and I said, Lauren, you need to make sure you're always faithful. And the last time I talked to her, she was. But I said, you need to make sure that you share. Because she said, you know, Pastor Lee, she said, I had kind of danced around religion and churches for a long time. She said, in fact, my friends and I, our favorite churches to go to were Spirit-filled, charismatic. Think about that. Spirit-filled, charismatic, / Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it, churches, because we love the music and we love the excitement and the emotion and we just love going in there and we dance and sing. And She said, and I was okay with God. She said, but the minute somebody said Jesus, something deep and dark rose up cold and put a wall, and I'd find myself repelled by the very mention of his name. She said, I did not realize there was a demonic influence that let me experience religion, even spirit-filled religion, and yet there was no revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you today, the most important, today we're going to be talking about finances. Again, all right? And it's necessary. I don't ever talk about it. I'll get that in a second. Let me back up to Jesus. The single most important revelation, all of the rest of this stuff that we talk about is moot without a living relationship with him. He makes the difference. He breaks the chains. He delivers the captive. He still heals the sick. He heals the broken hearted. How many are glad that that is still true? You ever had your heart broken? He restores. He revives. He strengthens. I love Romans 8, which reveals that when I'm struggling and weak, religion has taught me that when I'm struggling and weak, that he has to turn his back on me again. Oh, I can't wait till I get to my series on grace here in a couple of weeks. We're going to hit it hard. But religion taught me that he had to turn his back on me. He could not see my failure, my weakness, and had to distance himself. I had to get myself fixed so that I could experience his love again. This is what religion has said. Isaiah 54 declares, though, that there would come a day, speaking of Jesus, who is prophesied about in the previous chapter by the same prophet, says, the day is coming when I will establish a covenant of kindness. A covenant of peace that will stand forever. He says, I'll never turn my back on you again. Hebrews reverberates that. Hebrews 13:5 says, behold, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I'll not fear what man can do to me. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Amen. Coming into a living relationship with him makes all the difference. She'd experienced religion and the fun of church and went to fellowships and the whole deal. But when it came to Jesus, something. This morning, Jesus is the answer. Can you lift your hands all over the house today? How many are glad for Jesus? If you don't know him, don't be afraid. Don't let the devil deceive you. Like Lauren, open up your heart. We're going to give an opportunity for an invitation at the end of the service and for any prayer need for that matter. But this one's the most important. I'd love to be able to lead you into a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe you need to just come a few times and just hear and let the Holy Spirit confirm to you that this truth of the gospel is for you. How many love him today? Amen. Now, if you're new with us, now I think most everybody I've seen here I've seen before, or maybe you've missed a week or two. We've been talking about God's design for everyone. But certainly for the believer, his design and his plan for you to experience the blessing of God in your life. How many have a lot of blessings that you today are so thankful for? How many have family that have turned to the Lord recently? Amen. Some of you still believe in God. That's okay. That's what we're talking about. Seed time and harvest. How many have had breakthroughs physically? Some of us are still struggling and fighting. But how many know He is our faithful healer?
Yes, He is.
Healing. How many have had breakthroughs in jobs? The Bible speaks of the favor of God. How many have had breakthroughs in finances? As you've trusted God, how many know the love of money will get you in a big mess? But if we leave it where it belongs, this is the Lord's. And we use it as a tool. God likes that. The parable of the talents. It always amazes me how He took from the one who buried it and gave it to the one who had 10. I would have given it to the one with 5. He likes investment. He likes people who believe in the seed. So there's this thing called seed time and harvest. How many are entering in? Trusting God in this area. We spoke the last several weeks of a garden. You don't like the way your garden looks? It's never too late to trust the Lord of the harvest and begin to plant new seed. Amen. Okay? Now, for those that have not been here, now, it's almost not true now because I've touched on it now for several weeks, but it's been a couple of years since I've talked about money. And I've spent roughly 2 months or better, probably better, I haven't counted, haven't really worried about that, speaking of seed time and harvest, and purposely have stayed away from money. I realize that this is abused on both ends. I also realize that the minute you go to church or turn on the TV and there's a ministry or preacher talking about money, because of all the abuse, it's a big turnoff. I also want to remind you of something. The devil uses that kind of stuff to steal truth from the hearer. He will always accentuate the disasters and the abuses and try to get your mind and your heart off of truth that is coming your way. And I have obligation. That's why I stay away. It's not because I'm afraid of it. But I know, I've experienced it. I know the abuse on both ends, that money and how that works. I've seen it, the ugly side of it, inside and out. I understand that. But you know what? God ties the whole concept of seed the whole idea. How many this morning believe in seed time and harvest? This is what Jesus talks about. This is the way for us to be blessed. Now, we've covered the seed. The most important seed that you can plant is the Word of God getting in your heart and coming out of your mouth. Paul calls that a confession of faith. In other words, saying the same thing. We covered that for months. So that's one of the most important things. How many know that works, deeds, can be seeds? Now be careful, because I'm never doing works to try to get God to accept me or love me. That's going back to religion and the law. I am accepted, born again, loved, as Ryan was saying, He even likes me. Andrew Womack says, I believe I'm His favorite kid and that my picture is on His mantle. I mean, every one of us can say that because of what Jesus did in our place. I'm very glad for that this morning. Should never, ever, ever get old. If you got nothing else to be thankful for, first thing in the morning, that's one thing you can rejoice about. If He never did another thing for you, how many in here would agree He's already done enough for us to worship Him and honor Him for eternity? But let me tell you, He's not through yet, nor will He ever be. Ephesians 2 says, for the ages to come, it will be His great joy to show us the exceeding greatness of His grace. For ages to come. Pretty awesome. We serve a good God. Amen. Where was that? So, this deal of of money, scripture. So we've talked about a ton of things. Deeds, I started to say that just a minute ago. Works and deeds. Ephesians 2 reveals that our salvation, we are saved by faith through grace. But if you keep reading, and it makes it clear, not of works, lest any man should boast, for it is a gift from God. But it goes on to say that we are created in Christ Jesus. From the very beginning, we were created in Him unto good works. And it was ordained before time that we should walk in those good works. So works follow a heart transformation. And the Bible refers to anything like that as a seed. Now, the part that is uncomfortable for many, but listen, we need to, by the Holy Spirit, as we started last week, and if you missed last week, man, I'd encourage you, get the audio. You can get it online. You can have Bill run you off a CD. It'd be preferable if you could go online. If you have access to the internet, you can go to our church website. He keeps those mounted up in an MP3. We can find out, Bill, will we have this one available this week? Do we have it already? Last week's? He has it ready to roll. John, I'm sorry. Thank you, John. So I don't want to take too much time going back, but I'd love to, by the Holy Spirit, turn what the enemy has intended as a negative and turn it back around for good. Now, if you were here last week, we ended with Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And again, this verse right here ties the whole concept of seed, time, and harvest. It ties it to money. This verse. So, along with all of these other things, prayer, spoken word, your activity for the things of God, Scripture says that money as well is considered by God to be a type and a form of seed. Galatians 6, 7, Paul says some interesting things. Now, before you go there, you can put your finger in that spot, okay? I want you to turn to a very familiar... There are people that quote this scripture, they misquote it a lot, but they couldn't find it to save their lives. But today, you're not going to be that group because we're going to go together and I hope you circle it and underline it and become familiar with it because it is although very familiar, you got to know the Word of God for you. Not get excited about what I know. As you've heard me say before, it's the Word of God that gets in your heart and comes out of your mouth that you believe that transforms you. If you just get fired up and excited every week about the Word that I'm sharing, that I'm experiencing, that's like listening to somebody else take a shower. Doesn't do you much good. But how many know you can get in the bath? Get into grace, okay? Now, what I'm talking about is the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Paul is writing, Philippians chapter 4. We're going to start way back before the verse that I'm getting to, and I'll let you know when we get to the one I'm talking about. Verse 6, Paul says, why not? Let's back up to 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Come on, let's rejoice this morning. We got the good news. Amen? Then he says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything. Jesus said in another place, he said, worrying doesn't do you any good. Which one of you worrying about anything has added one cubit, or we could say today, added an inch to your height by worrying? How many know worrying is a non-productive, in fact, it produces, but it produces negative. Worry goes the other way, okay? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. How many are thankful in here this morning? Amen. Got something to be thankful for. Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is this silly, religious, humble pie attitude that says, oh, I wouldn't ask for, I would do it for somebody else, but I would never ask. And it's so hypocritical because we get angry at my money. We get angry that others have more than us. We get angry because we don't have enough. We get angry at our bosses who don't give us a raise. We get angry because the government's not giving us enough breaks. We call ourselves, believe, well, all of this is going on, but when it gets right, when we're talking religious, I would never ask anything. That's pride. It's an unreceptive attitude. The Bible says that we've never tied these together, but he says that the peace, here's the promise if you do it. You want to see real humility? Here's the promise if you ask. He says, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you do what? Let your requests be made known unto God. Only pride. Well, I wouldn't ask for me. I would. Don't even do that, because you do. I'm not talking to anybody in here. I'm talking about the church down the road. Everybody in here, you don't do any of this. All right? Would you bump your neighbor and say it's okay to ask? Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, he said, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. I would never just rock on. Who are you impressing? Because you're not impressing God. The Holy Spirit speaking through James in James chapter 5 says, this is the confidence that we have that if we ask anything according to His will, there's two things that we can be confident of. We know that He hears us, and we know that we have that which we have desired, petitioned of Him. That's amazing stuff. Jesus said in John 15, He says, hitherto have you asked nothing in My name, but I tell you that whatever you ask the Father in My name. Now, the kicker to all this is what the Spirit of God said through James. If you ask anything according to His will. So you better know what His will is. You can't walk out here. I love picking on John about his big, beautiful yellow truck. I can't walk out and claim John's yellow truck because I think it's pretty. John, I don't covet your truck, I promise. But it is pretty. Do you still have your yellow truck? I'm so glad. Okay. You can't go out and claim somebody's truck anymore. You go and claim somebody's wife. Hello. You better be lining up with what the Word of God says. But you find the Word of God about healing. You find the Word of God about provision. You find the Word of God about provision. I've got news for you. Hebrews 13:8 says, if it's in the Word, in the beginning was the Word, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews 13:8 says that Word, His name is Jesus, and He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What He's always done, He's still doing today. He is the unchangeable God. Whew. Turn to your neighbor and say, good news. Come on, good news. Isn't it great to be in church and be lifted? Yes. I'm not bragging on what I'm saying. I'm saying if you just preach the Word, it lifts people. Keep it in context. Context is everything, man. Religion will twist the Scripture all around. You can just pull one Scripture out and say, Judas went and hung himself, and take another one and say, go thou and do likewise. You can just get rid of your enemies that way. I mean, we don't twist Scripture like that. Keep it in context. Keep it where it belongs. There's freedom. Jesus says that His Word is spirit and life. John 6:63. Jesus said, he whom the Son has set free is free indeed. How does that happen? Through the knowledge of His Word. Hosea 4:6 says that my people perish because they don't know some things. All right? Let me keep on reading. So look at this promise right here. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus as a result of being careful for nothing. Just say, Lord, I trust You. I'm tempted to worry. There's unbelief and confusion, but like the blind man, help my unbelief. I'm starting a new day. I'm trusting You. I believe Your Word. I believe You're going to take care. And by the way, I've got some requests, and here they are. Psalms 37, 4 and 5, I love it. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is exactly what Paul just got through saying. He's saying, be careful for nothing, but offer up thanksgiving in the middle of your need. Offer up thanksgiving and thank Him for who He is in the middle of your need. He said, here's what happens when you make your request known. The peace of God. I'm glad for the peace of God in here this morning. Praise God. Which passes all understanding. Here's an example of that. You ever got a word from God? When you got a word from the doctor? But there was such a strength and knowledge of faith that it didn't matter what hit you. It might bobble you for a second, but there was a force that rose up on the inside of you. And you said, no way, Jose, I know I'm the healed of the Lord. I know there are others that are struggling. That's why we keep sitting under the Word and keep receiving seed and keep planting seed and keep our mouth where it belongs. Planting seed with our mouths, planting seed with our worship, with our prayers. How many know that God is, He is the Lord of the harvest and He tends to the seed? If we'll just trust Him with it. Okay. Finally, brethren, he says, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. That is a mouthful, and I need you to back up. If you're getting limited success in trusting and believing God, how many know faith works? How many know the Word works? Faith in the Word absolutely works. How many know that seed planted, He is the Lord of the harvest. Seed time and harvest is our way. It's God's primary way for us to experience blessing in our lives. Dodie Osteen, given weeks to live, dying of cancer, riddled with cancer, 3 weeks left to live, stood with John 10:10 at 10:10 in the morning and 10:10 in the evening with her shoes stuffed with healing scriptures, standing on the promise, as she said, and her children could hear that woman shouting with all the strength that she had, down to 90 pounds. They said, you're going to die. There's no hope for you. Her son, who was a medical doctor right there in Houston, when he saw the medical report, wept because he knew there was no hope. Dodie Osteen stood and shouted the promises of God, sowed seed in the face of disaster, and then her kids crying as she twisted their arms and literally made them take her to the hospital to pray for the sick while she was dying of cancer. They said she was so thin, she was slid down in her shoes. They could hear her shouting in her bedroom every morning at 10:10 and every evening at 10:10, declaring the promises of God. I'll tell you what, people, I don't know if I'm there yet. But where I am, I am 100% convinced that the Word of God has not changed, that it stands forever, and it works for the believer. And Paul says something here that is really, really, really interesting. It's a challenge to me, and I know it will be to you. He says, those things which you have learned and received. And heard. And seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. He said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me has flourished again. He's speaking of your financial offerings towards the ministry that he was conducting. He says, but you lacked. He says, wherein you also were careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. How many know the Lord can help us do that? For I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul's saying that as an apostle, I'm not about you filling my coffers. It doesn't matter what my financial state is for me. But he's thanking them for having been a blessing to his ministry and made what he does possible. He's just making clear that you know where his motives are at. Now look at the next thing he says. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate. The word communicate there means that they gave finances to his kingdom endeavors. Communicate there doesn't mean they talk to him. And you'll see that. This is King James gobbledygook for giving. Then he goes on and he says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me, here it is, as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For then, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my need. Not because I desire a gift, but because I desire fruit. This verse right here is huge. If there's anything that I want to leave with you this morning, I want this verse to stick in your mind. This is not a negative message about what you ought to be doing. This is a positive message about there is a way that if we cooperate, the blessing of God will begin to flow and come in wave after wave in our lives as we trust him as Lord of the harvest. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good already. So here we go. Look at what he says. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again, I'm in necessity, not because I desire a gift. Here's the reason I'm talking to you about this. He said, because I desire that fruit may abound to your account. Can I set you free this morning? Not me. You know what I mean by that. Let the word set you free this morning. God's desire is that you abound. It's okay to desire abundance for the right reasons. I'm going to show you in Scripture where the Bible says that his desire for us is to be blessed to the degree that we can be ready whenever need arises to be a blessing. Let me tell you something. You can't give what you don't have. And all this poor mouth, listen, I understand the abuse on TV and the abuse in ministries. I've been around it. I've walked into churches that I just made my stomach turn to see the lavishness and the gazillions of dollars spent on a facility. And I was there as a missionary sharing about people that had never heard the gospel. The contrast made me sick at my stomach. It also made me react. Instead of following the word, I lived a reactionary Christian life in which I thought they were 100% wrong and I was 100% right because I had a proper balance and an understanding and they were abusing God. How many know that is abuse? But how many know if I get caught off in that thinking? I'm doing what Proverbs says not to do. Fret not. And they weren't even evil. They were just misled. They were good people. But he said, fret not. Because of the evildoer who seems to prosper in his way. That's an evildoer, let alone a believer. I got my eyes off on the wrong stuff. And what happened is it didn't help me at all. And I begin to react and I begin to almost glory in my lack, along with others that I knew. And that's just, and really what it was a type of jealousy. That was so far beyond me. You know, God is not afraid of lavishness. It's just, which way is it going? What's it doing? John chapter 12, we see a woman who I'm not going to turn. I was going to take the time, but I got a lot I want to do this morning, and I don't want to keep you here too long. John chapter 12, there's a lady that comes and breaks in unannounced and without invitation just breaks into the party, into a home, and begins to worship Jesus. And she takes an alabaster full of spikenard that the Bible says was very costly, and she wastes it. Easy. God doesn't look at value the same way we do. In fact, there was one, you know who he was, that held the money bag, and he said, shouldn't we give this to the poor? And Jesus says something incredibly shocking. He said, the poor will always be with you, but this? We read of a woman who had a bad reputation. Yeah, that reputation. Mm-hmm. Who the revelation, I see Lauren standing with her hands lifted, his eyes. Something broke through. She had a revelation of who Jesus was, and she took the most valuable thing and wasted it, poured it, as she wept and worshiped him. And Jesus says something that is fascinating. How I cannot wait to hit this. When we hit our series on grace, it might last for 3 years. Who knows? He says, the one who's forgiven much loves much. There was never a confession that we know of that was heard. Her very action of worship entailed a whole new exchange. He declares over her forgiveness of sins and says, his love. I'm very glad for the love of God this morning. And that, the response of that great forgiveness caused her to be lavish in her response. It didn't embarrass Jesus at all. There were the critics, and they'll always be there. Let me flip it around a little bit. It has amazed me that as the blessing of God has come into my life, I was excited because I figured those that were close to me would all be excited, and most were. But it amazed me how some began to question, how did you get that? How did you wind up there? Are you abusing? It's amazing what happens. Get ready. Because there will be those that will be encouraged and strengthened as the blessing of God begins to come in your life. And there will be those that will always be critics. Don't worry about it. Jesus wasn't embarrassed about it. And said, in fact, he said some, as I already said, some pretty shocking things about a lavish gift to the one that had changed her life. How many know God doesn't need our stinking money? He doesn't need our stinking gift, but the heart overflowing. The only way she could express it is, the most valuable thing I have is not enough to offer worship to the one who has changed my life. New covenant giving is like that. It leaves behind the restriction and constraint of the law. And we step into a whole new life in where seed time and harvest takes on a whole new thing. And it's okay to expect. Make your request known unto God. And the God of peace shall guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. Would you lift your hands all over the room today and say, Lord, you are the Lord of my harvest. The harvest. Amen. Now, I know primarily, you know, our heart ought to be about the harvest of souls. I understand that. But that's such a religious angle. Because the very people that say that Well, they can't do this, and they can't go there, and they can't go to the mission field, and they can't do this thing, and they can't do the other. And they're working and scratching and fighting to get a job and doing everything they can to work up and get more money so they can. And they're just always behind. So they're slaves to mammon while they proclaim that money really isn't a big deal. It's all about souls. But they're not doing a whole lot because they haven't gotten hold of the whole harvest. Galatians 6:7 ties your seed, the concept of seed time and harvest, to money for the believer. It's okay to believe God. Mark chapter 4, the Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is like to a man who goes out and he sows seed, and he gets up every little bit and goes to check and see. Why? It's a foregone conclusion that if I plant seed, I should expect a harvest. Say, it's okay. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, it's okay to expect a great harvest. In fact, he wants us to. Amen. We're doing all right? Now, here in Philippians, he says, not that I desire a gift. I read to you 1 Corinthians 9, I believe it was last week. Was it 1 Corinthians 9? I think it was. We'll look at it here in a minute. Where he point blank tells him, he said, listen, he says, is it a strange thing that I have sowed into you spiritually that I should expect that you should sow back to me financially? It's the shift and flow of the way things work in the kingdom. And God monitors that. It's fraught with abuse. That's why I'm so open and plain about these things. You think I don't go home and struggle? Lord, did I say, I've got to just give it to God. I think I'm one of the worst. Go home and struggle. Say, did I say the right thing? Did I say the wrong thing? Did I give the wrong impression? Was there somebody new? Do they think we're just about money? Are people thinking I'm just, you know, and I got to shut it down just like I preached to you and say, listen, I got to trust that God said what he needed to say to individuals in spite of me or with me. But I have an obligation to preach the whole counsel of God. And again, this money thing is something I hardly ever touch on. Ask anybody that goes here. And we probably won't hit it again for a couple more years. Because I don't like it because of the abuse. But how many know that this is the way towards enduring blessing in our lives? All right? Now look at what he says. He goes on and he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. Do you hear what he just said? Now, he spoke earlier about his attitude. I know how to be happy in Jesus, whether I'm abounding or don't have anything. But right now, he's telling you where he's at practically. He's saying, I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which are sent from you, an odor of sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable. Come on, listen to what he says in reference to money. Not Lee, your Bible. He says, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing. That's why I think of John chapter 12 and that precious woman who suddenly had a revelation of the love of Jesus and barged in unannounced and uninvited and began to worship him with the most precious, viable thing she had. That's pretty awesome. Did you ever think that talking about money could be this rich? Are you being reminded in talking of Jesus right now of how precious he is to us individually? And how careful he is to perform his word. A sacrifice acceptable and well pleasing to God. Don't ever just... You know, let me back up and say something. Last week, we presented a need here. It's something that I don't abuse because it is abused. I didn't beg. I didn't plead. We didn't take pledges. I mentioned it and that was it. I want you to know that to date, we have over $4,000. This church. That's why I don't want to abuse it. That's why I'm not preaching this, because I need you to do something for me. I'm glad that I can preach this, because with a congregation no bigger than this, every time we simply present, people respond so well. Every time. And I've heard that there's more coming. So we've got what we need to more than button things up. We can start doing some things with that building to help us, because I suffer as a pastor when we have new people that come and that age group goes over there to the cave. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. But let me tell you something. Don't ever give money out of just a response to need. I want you to see something, that when God touches your heart and you lay that thing in an envelope and stuff it in that little worship box, that's what I like to call it. That's a form of worship. The Bible says, I want you to think of it. You ever smelled money? It stinks. You think it stinks here, you ought to smell it in Honduras. The guy's got bills in his shirt pocket and never doesn't even know what a bar of deodorant is. You want to smell some wild money? That is some wild money. One bill can make your pickups smell like onions, and I'm here to tell you it's the truth. You may not think that smells good, but when you give to the kingdom, not just for special needs, but those of you that are part of this body and you're part of our direction and you've received and you give, listen, anytime we do that, we need to understand that to God, don't let the devil back you up and get you thinking backwards. That is a sweet-smelling sacrifice, an offering unto Him. And in that same breath, we may not get there today, but I tried hard. Galatians 6:7 says, in reference to that act right there, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Get ready. Don't ever think of it as just something you do. Realize there's a kingdom principle for your blessing. Look at the next verse. But! Why but here? Why wouldn't you say and? I want you to think about that. He says, these things that you sent to me, he said, were an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Everybody say, to God. To God. Oh, we can get into that. Oh, this is my offering to God. Everybody say it. To God. To God. Oh, all for Him. To God. But, what's he saying? This isn't all about Him, because He's all about you. And here's the promise. In context of their faithful giving, even giving out of their need, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I hope you heard that for the first time like never before. Here is the promise. How many have heard that verse a ton over the last few years but haven't heard it in context? He is the Lord of the harvest. He watches over the seed. He's not worried about the seed. You shouldn't worry about it either, because the seed knows, as I said last week, the seed knows what to do if you get it in the ground. You get it in the ground, God will make sure that it produces for good. And yes, for your blessing, so that you may be a blessing. You think God's not interested in your finances? Here's just a few, just to throw at you, because I'm out of time anyway. Proverbs 13, I thought I had it here. Turn to Proverbs 13. I mean, not Proverbs, Psalm 13. And then we'll go back to some of these other Psalms. 13. Nope, that's not it. That's not it. Still not it. Maybe this Proverbs. Well, let me go to the next one and maybe I'll remember what it is. Psalms 37, there it is, Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Sowing. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. This is shocking stuff in your Bible. Proverbs 10, chapter 10, verse 4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. I love this one, Psalms 37, verse 25. I have been young and now I'm old, but I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I'm going to repeat that one. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Proverbs 28:8, interesting, practical. Whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is generous to the poor. Holy schmoly. Do you know that was in there? Proverbs 10:22. This is my favorite. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Deuteronomy 8:18. Say, oh, Pastor Lee, you're sounding like one of them from that prosperity bunch. I got a question for you. Who prospers you? You or God? End of story. It better be him who's prospering you, because without him, it's pierced with sorrow. You better believe in prosperity of God. I realize there's abuse. There's abuse with everything. But how many are wise today and you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater? He has designed a process for my blessing that I may be a blessing. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. If that were true before the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, imagine the fulfillment of all that was type and shadows in him. There's only one thing that keeps us from experiencing that. It's either ignorance or religion. How many are set free from religion today and are climbing deeper into Jesus? Hallelujah. Bump your neighbor and say, he is the answer. Hallelujah. His ways are my ways. If he says it's good, it's good. Hallelujah. Can we read a couple more? I'm not going to finish today anyway. So you already heard me quote Galatians 6:7. We'll hit there again next week. Tie in the seed. How many are excited about what God's going to do? Amen. Here's Hebrews 13:5. He says, keep your life free from the love of money. Keep it free from the love of money. And be content with what you have. He didn't say be content as this is good enough. A person who sows is expecting a harvest. But he's saying right now in this time when of planting, we were going to look at it. We'll have to look at it next week. He says in Galatians, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you will reap your reward. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll finish with this one. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Powerful. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. You think God isn't interested in your financial affairs? Listen to what he says. As for the rich in this present age, you need to get rid of all your money and become poor so that you can be spiritual. He says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. You thought that was sacrilegious. Oh, I don't get anything from, I would never get anything for myself. You know, it's all for, you know, we should be reaching out. And the same people hide their own indulgences. That's religious gobbledygook. I just switch off when I hear it because you're not being honest. Enjoy my horses. I like my beat up little old bass boat. I just better keep them where they belong. You understand? But he freely gives us all things to enjoy. You say, well, you're talking about that stuff in the light of all this. What do you think he's talking about? Freely, all things to enjoy? What is he talking about? You enjoy abundant life. But there's a big principle in the kingdom. It's called, if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Let it go and watch what God does. Amen? As we trust him. Now, there are principles that I don't have time to get into today, but you shouldn't give money away when your bills aren't paid. That's not your money to give. You owe a man, that's his money. You're taking his money, stealing from him, and you're probably not doing it in faith. Pay your bills. What about the tithe? I'll be cursed. That's why we're going to hit that. That's bad thinking. You're not to give out of constraint. You're supposed to give out of a love, a cheerfulness for God. Take care of your family. Now, there have been times when the Lord has spoken to Jackie and I, and we didn't have the money for any of that stuff anyway. The Lord spoke to us about giving to a missionary, and we were in agreement. because we were in agreement, we took that risk together and gave our last $80 to missionary. We didn't have the money to pay the rent, so it didn't matter. You know what? I wasn't stealing from anybody because there wasn't anything to give. And I won't get into it now, but God supernaturally, I had a kid, nervous as all get out, who I barely knew, show up at my doorstep and hand us the money we needed. Said, I don't know why, but I was praying and God said, we were young kids, but I saw early, He's faithful. I also had to learn how to be more diligent and more responsible, because when you need a miracle like that, you're probably being irresponsible. God is gracious, but it's not a way to live. Are you here today? Provide for your family. Take care of what needs to be. Don't give other people's money away. But as God begins to bless you, trust the Lord of the harvest and watch what He does. Amen. My God shall supply all your needs. Boy, I wished I had another hour. Just about have taken. Are you getting anything out of this? Is this encouraging you in Jesus? Trusting the Lord of the harvest. Say with me today, my God supplies all my need according to His riches. According to His riches. In glory by Christ Jesus. I'm sowing. Come on, say it with me all over the room. I'm sowing. I expect a great harvest. Already here and more coming in waves. Come on, say it like you mean it. Already here and more coming in waves. Lord, make me a greater blessing. Come on, all over the room. Would you say it? I mean, say it out loud where your spouse can hear you. Lord, make me a greater blessing. Abounding unto every need, according to your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. Amen.